Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I am Yada. Each weekday here on GCN, we strive to expose and condemn the destructive myths that are associated with religion and with politics, with patriotism and the media, and with military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news, our mission is to understand what is actually occurring while considering how these events will shape our world. Then during our second hour, we will engage God on His terms through evidence and reason, since His is the lone reliable voice in an exceedingly troubled world. Our number, if you want to add your comments to this discussion, is 877-300-7645. I want to open in Istanbul. It has become mayhem there. If you look at the images that are coming out of Turkey, there is bedlam. This story is from CNN, is one of several we're going to consider this morning. It reads, more than a week after protests began sweeping Turkey, and they are all over Turkey. It's not just in Istanbul. I think they're in some 30 different provinces across the country. Demonstrators have kept up their occupation of bustling Taksim Square. The protests initially started because Taksim Square is somewhat analogous to Tahrir Square in Cairo. It is a place where protesters have typically gathered. It's a place to voice dissent. And Erdogan, in his normal arrogant way, of course, wanted to put his stamp on the place. And he was going to turn it into a kind of combination of shopping mall, but also tribute to the Ottoman military. Back when Turkey was part, it was the Ottoman Empire. And the fact that he was going to do it as the prime minister of the country, not soliciting input from anybody, but just because he was the man in charge and could do whatever he wanted to because Turkey has become his private sandbox, is the thing that initially riled those who are protesting. Now, I suspect that this protest will be put down because Egypt is somewhere between 1/3 and 2/3 and maybe even 25%, 75% split. Those who are protesting now are protesting on a singular theme, which is that Turkey has migrated from a secular country to a theocracy. It has become resolutely and fundamentally Islamic. And that secular influence in the society is being usurped. There is no longer a free press in Turkey. Erdogan has eliminated it. There is no longer an independent military in Turkey. Erdogan has imprisoned, just as he has the journalist, has imprisoned any who wouldn't kowtow to his fundamentalist Islamic leanings. Their prison population has swollen enormously. And no one is tolerated outside of fundamentalist Islam in Turkey. And so those who are protesting are a decided minority. They used to be the majority in Turkey, but that is no longer the case. Turkey, like the rest of the Islamic world, is now in the range of between 2/3 and 3/4 fundamentalists. So after these demonstrators now have grown in numbers, Erdogan is telling them that they need to go back to work and go back to school, calling them extremists and essentially trying to slap them with the back of his hand. It is the sign of his arrogance. What began as a small sit-in over the Turkish government's plan to demolish a park in central Istanbul in favor of a shopping arcade has morphed into the biggest protest movement against Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan since he was elected more than 10 years ago. Angry protesters, just think, in 10 years, Turkey has been transformed from the only democratic and somewhat secular Islamic country. And there were other secular Islamic countries, for example, Iraq, Iraq's no longer secular. Syria was secular. So there were other secular Islamic countries, but there were no secular democracies, if you will, in the Islamic world other than Turkey. And Turkey is no longer secular. And that has all transpired over 10 years. And 10 years ago, Turkey was the one trading partner in the Islamic world with with Israel. They are now the most shrill voice against Israel. Angry protesters who say they have responded to angry protesters who say police have responded to their demonstrations with excessive force accuse Erdogan of being paternalistic and authoritarian. The paternalistic, you might think, oh, well, that's a fatherly figure. But in countries where despots rule, and Turkey is that kind of place now, it is. It's very much like Putin's Russia, where, yes, people vote, but the media is controlled by Putin, just as the media in Turkey is controlled by Erdogan. If you aren't willing to write flattering stories about him and slander his opponents, then you're cast in jail. And any opponent that would run against him that is credible, either of these two men, Putin or Erdogan, is also brought up on charges, bogus charges, but also imprisoned. And so they're only democracies in the sense that they go through the exercise. And so with both of these countries, they are very close to the great father image that was cultured in Soviet Russia with Stalin. It was cultured in Germany with Adolf Hitler. It was more recently cultured in North Korea with its despot. Now, there's no sign of either side backing down, and a defiant Erdogan shows no indication or inclination that he's going to give in to demands. Mr. Erdogan said he would not yield to, quote, wild extremists, and urged an end to the protests. You know, it's amazing that what happens to people who are both religious zealots and political zealots and who think that they have the total authority and right to lord over their country. Anyone who is opposed to them is labeled an extremist. It is what's happening in the United States. It's why in the United States the Benghazi raid was blamed on an extremist as opposed to a fundamentalist Muslim terrorist group. That's the reason why the FBI can investigate the Shannara brothers and not see any threat, because they are told that the threat doesn't come from Islam, it comes from extremists. It is the way the world is moving, and it doesn't matter if it is a Islamic country or a Western country. The enemy of the empowered are being labeled extremist, and then extremist is defined as anyone who is opposed to those who are empowered. If you're listening to this program and you're opposed to America giving up on its constitution, ignoring its constitution, then you are, by government's view, an extremist. Now, the fact is that the people who are protesting are anything but extremists. They are secular, agnostics, typically. They are well-educated. They come from a Turkey that no longer exists, a Turkey where free expression and education and enlightenment and choice mattered. Their Turkey is now killing them. Correspondents say that the local issue has spiraled into a more widespread anger over perceived Islamization. Now, perceived. It's amazing that the media can be so ignorant. Now, one of two things is true. The correspondents are saying perceived, and they're putting Islamization in quotes, because they fear that should they openly acknowledge that that has been the central thrust to Erdogan's Turkey and to his rule, is to impose fundamentalist Islam on Turkey and not have any voice in opposition to fundamentalist Islam, essentially perpetrating a genocide against any rival, that they will be thrown in jail. And Turkish jails are hell. Or they are just so ignorant, that so irrational, that they have come to see Erdogan as the messianic figure of the Islamic world. And that is how he presents himself, the great example. Mr. Erdogan has been in power since 2002, and some in Turkey have complained that his government is becoming increasingly authoritarian. And that is a theme, but that's a theme that is a symptom of the previous theme. Islamic countries, Islamic governments are all authoritarian, the way that Islam is. You know, you read the Quran, and it is extraordinarily clear. Submit and obey. The religion itself means to surrender, to submit. It is all about following Allah's and Muhammad's orders. And their orders are to submit to authority. There is no choice. They're all authoritarian. But the authoritarian nature of Erdogan's government isn't so much a byproduct of the man's individual nature, his flawed character, as it is the flawed nature of the religion that he is promoting. The article then goes on to say his ruling AK party has its roots in political Islam. But he says that he is committed to Turkey's state secularism, which is the antithesis of what's true. Now, he knows it's untrue. The media knows it's untrue. It's kind of like this president, of the United States. He will say the opposite of what's true, hoping that he will at least fog the issue to the point that those who are not willing to study and listen and think and hold people accountable will simply say, oh, yeah, you know, maybe it isn't as bad as it all appears, and give them a break. Well, that's what he's doing when he's saying he is for secularism. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yana. You can participate in this discussion by calling toll-free 877-300-7645. We're talking about the uprising in Turkey. It, unlike the uprisings in the rest of the Islamic world, is not going to prevail. The reason that the uprisings prevailed, by prevailing, I'm not giving this the good housekeeping seal of approval, but the reason that we saw landscape change in Tunisia, in Libya, in Egypt, and in both Iraq and Afghanistan before that, is that the overwhelming majority of Muslims, when they're given the opportunity to choose whether they wish to live under Sharia law, whether they wish to be dictated to by the most fundamentalist Muslims, or whether they wish to have freedom in a secular government where choice is paramount, choose Islam. And so, in Tunisia, the majority of the people were fundamentalist Muslims. A minority were not fundamentalist. Same thing was true in Libya. Same thing was true in Egypt. And so, in Turkey, the vast majority of the people, somewhere between two-thirds and three-quarters, are now fundamentalist. That means that their devotion to the religion is so extreme that they are absolutely incapable of responding rationally, reasonably. They're incapable of expressing a democratic thought. They have no desire for choice. And so in the Turkey, you've got the minority now leading a revolt as opposed to the majority. And so it will fail. But it is interesting nonetheless. Turkey has arrested more than 2,000 people as a result of these protests in 67 towns across Turkey since Tuesday. This is according to Turkey's semi-official Anadolu news agency. It's kind of funny when they talk about semi-official news agencies in countries like Turkey. Turkey used to have an independent press. It doesn't anymore. Not because, or simply because Erdogan won't tolerate it. 58 civilians are still hospitalized as a result of Turkey's aggressive crackdown on the protesters. These protests have broken out in 67 of Turkey's 81 provinces, according to various agencies. Among them is Adana, where protester Kent Dessler said Sunday that police tried to corner the people. They came at us from all sides, hurting us as if we were animals. The international human rights groups Amnesty International and Greenpeace have denounced what they described as grossly excessive use of police force against peaceful protesters. It is the nature of Islam. Erdogan is letting his Islam show. On Monday, Erdogan dismissed such allegations. He said, "Oh, we're servants of the people, not masters. We did not use violence." Being completely detached from reality, which is a psychosis, by the way, is germane to Islam. Muslims have absolutely no ability to make a connection between what they do and what they say, between what they believe and what is real. And it is a religion based on lies. And so it is a religion that promotes lies. We did not use violence. That is untrue. People are entitled to disagreement with the government. They can exercise their democratic rights, but they can do so within the context of a democratic society, a senior government administrator said. So here's one government administrator. Yeah, I think he's deputy minister. Said, people are entitled to disagree with their government. They can exercise their democratic rights. Now, here's what Erdogan said to that. We invite our citizens, especially our youth, to act with common sense and sensitivity and to refrain from taking part in these illegal demonstrations. So what Erdogan is saying is if you are in opposition to him, if you're in opposition to fundamentalist Islam, then your demonstration is illegal. You can't demonstrate. It is his Islam that is showing all over again. And it's the doublespeak that the media doesn't seem to be able to grasp hold of, to recognize that one minister is saying, yes, you have freedom to express your views, and yet the prime minister is saying, no, you don't. We'll return to Shattering Myths in a moment. Good morning. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're going to conclude our comments on Turkey here. Again, this is a place where, unlike the surrounding Arab Spring, as they are called, uprisings, this is the antithesis of that. The Arab Springs, by the way, had nothing to do with Arab and really nothing to do with Spring. They were all Islamic reformations. A very bad thing, because the fundamentalist Islam is the worst form of Islam. And any time you have an Islamic reformation and you sweep out a secular government and bring in a fundamentalist Islamic government, as happened in the northern Mediterranean countries of Africa with Tunisia, Libya, and Egypt. That is a bad thing for those people. It's a bad thing for the world. It brings a living hell upon the citizens of those countries. But in Turkey, the people who are protesting are not fundamentalist Muslims. They do not have a secular government. They have an Islamic government. And the people who are protesting against it are the the libertarians, if you will. Now, that was one of the things that the United States really messed up, the world got wrong, particularly in Egypt, but also in Tunisia, with this idea that those who were opposing the authoritarian dictators in those countries were freedom fighters, that they were Democrats, that they were libertarians. And the opposite was true. They weren't. Were there some? Certainly. But they represented such a small minority that they were in the range of about 5 to 10% of the total population, where the more liberal-minded, we really want freedom, and that includes freedom from religion. They represented a tiny fraction, and yet the media focused on them, wanted to tell their story. And what happened is that the vast majority, the 65 to 75% of the people who were fundamentalist Muslims, ended up taking control of those countries. That is not going to happen in Turkey. It is the opposite scenario in Turkey. At a news conference before a trip to Morocco, Erdogan said that the protests were organized by extremists and accused opposition groups of provoking his citizens. This his citizens idea and the extremists tell you everything you need to know about what is happening there. As a direct result of Islam, this prime minister looks at any group that is opposed to the Islamization of his country as extremists. As opposed to looking at fundamentalist Muslims as extremists, he has the opposite view, that anyone who opposes Sharia and the Islamization of his country is an extremist. And of course, because he is a dictator, just as Putin is, yes, there are elections, but the elections don't mean anything when you control everything, including the courts and the media, and can easily have arrested and incarcerated any viable opponent, which is what Erdogan does. Then you move to the point of all the little people belong to you, his citizens. Another article, I'm just going to read two statements from it. It was a opinion piece written by someone on behalf of CNN. It reads, "These protests reflect, in part, the deep theological polarization between secular and liberal-minded Turks and the more religious Turks, representing a quarter and two-thirds of the population, respectively." So what he has said here, and this is a Turk writing this article, is that the numbers I have shared with you are reasonably accurate, that the religious Turks, fundamentalist Islamic Turks, so he doesn't want to use those terms, but Salaf Turks, fundamentalist Muslims, represent two-thirds of the population. I suspect it's a little more than that, but certainly 67% is a reasonable approximation of the percentage of Turks now that are fundamentalist Muslims. And the number of more secular, liberal-minded, democratic people, enlightened people, educated people, does not represent the remaining one-third, but represents approximately 25% of the population. Many secular Turks complain that the Islamist-rooted government is intolerant of criticism and it's intolerant of any diversity. So far, Erdogan's robust and muscular stance vis-a-vis the demonstrations has reinforced those perceptions. Yes, his Islam is showing. This morning, there was a news out of Egypt. This is the Muslim Brotherhood Egypt that America aided and abetted, still pays for. America, in fact, has propped up economically and militarily. If America would not have done these things, the Muslim Brotherhood would not be in charge of Egypt now. But the Egyptian courts today sentenced several dozen workers from non-governmental organizations, those would be NGOs, including Americans, to jail. And they did so with the United States protesting in the background, saying that that wasn't very democratic of you. Well, Egypt is not a democracy. Egypt is a theocracy. The workers were accused of having illegal foreign funding. All but one of the Americans were sentenced in absentia, having left the country after posting some $132,000 each in bail money. It's a new way of raising money for a bankrupt country, I suppose. In all, 43 NGO workers, including several Americans and other foreigners, were charged. The court sentenced 27 NGO workers in absentia to five-year prison sentences. Now, the only place where prisons are more hellish than Turkey might be Egypt. 11 defendants to one-year suspended jail sentences and five others to two-year sentences, which were not suspended. The court also ordered the closure of four NGOs, the U.S.-based Freedom House, the International Democratic Institute, and the National Democratic Institute. And they confiscated their funds. So what did those organizations have in common? Freedom House, Democratic, International Democratic Institute, the National Democratic Institute. They were all opposed to Islam. Now, not one of them wrote a single article or made a single speech that was in opposition to Islam, but Islam means submission. It is the antithesis of choice, of freedom. Surrender is the opposite of freedom. Islam means surrender. And so the very fact that they were voicing, or at least considering voicing, a freedom mantra, a you should think and then choose point of view, made them enemies of the state. Robert Becker of the National Democratic Institute was the only American who stayed behind to fight the charges, along with one German and 13 Egyptians. Not immediately clear what sentence he was given. Quote, if evidence matters in an Egyptian court, oh boy, there's a leap of faith. If evidence matters in an Islamic court, tomorrow's verdict will be not guilty, he said in a statement yesterday. But this case has been political. No, it has been religious, pal, from the very beginning. So guilty is a very real possibility, despite the complete lack of evidence. For me and for everyone, it was clear that the prosecution failed to produce a shred of evidence on any of their allegations, he said on Tuesday. But what they're missing is that evidence and reason don't play in the religious arena. I don't care what religion it is that people gravitate to. The moment they begin to define themselves as being religious, then they lose all appetite for evidence or reason. Any evidence or any reason that in any way shows their faith to be invalid, they are allergic to it. And so what this American doesn't seem to realize is that evidence doesn't matter. It never mattered. It was never going to matter. Good judgment, reason, fairness, justice don't matter either. This isn't a political problem. It's a religious problem. The government of Egypt is not a government that is founded on political philosophies. It is a government founded on religious philosophies. The gentleman that stayed behind, Robert Becker, said, we were planning on a training course for journalists, but we never had the chance to launch it. So here's a person who has been convicted of violating Egypt's NGO laws, the new one that has been established, and of doing something that was worthy of a multiple-year jail sentence, and yet he hadn't done anything yet. Hadn't even launched his training course, and all his training course was going to be on is how to be an effective journalist. Amazing, huh? Welcome to the new Egypt. Turning closer to home, there was another set of tornadoes, not as violent as the F5 that rolled through Oklahoma a couple of weeks ago. But this EF3 tornado was perhaps as deadly. Now 18 people are known dead, 6 children, 12 adults. There is no denying that tornadoes, along with hurricanes and earthquakes, the great seismos that Yahusha predicted would be birth pangs prior to his return, are in fact increasing in frequency and magnitude. This time, among the 18 dead, 3 who made a living studying these great natural spectacles, 3 that were part of Discovery Channel's show called, I think, Storm Chasers. Officials added 5 victims Monday and confirmed the list of the dead from the tornadoes, from the storms that caused severe flooding. 3 adults and 2 unidentified children have been added to the list. You know, there's also was a massive earthquake in Taiwan yesterday. And today, Europe is experiencing horrible flooding. The Danube in particular has turned many towns in Germany and downstream as well, even through what was Czechoslovakia, into where streets have become rivers. While there is no global warming, there is climate change, but also the Earth is responding violently as the end approaches. We'll return in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. In Syria, the United Nations is becoming considerably more vocal. This morning they said that the Syrian conflict has reached entirely new levels of brutality, with fresh suspected massacres, sieges, and violations even of children's rights. Children have been taken hostage. Many have been forced to watch torture. Many have been killed while fighting, which means that the children have been forced to carry weapons. When the children are forced to carry weapons and become fighters, it's usually on the rebel side. When children are forced to watch their parents being tortured, it's usually on the government side. It is a living hell, what has happened in Syria. We are witnessing the worst in the religion of Islam in Syria. It says that it suspects that there are no reasonable grounds to believe that chemical weapons have been deployed. There are reasonable grounds, I should say. So there is a sense that chemical weapons have been deployed. But even there, the UN says that is not the takeaway from this. The use of chemical weapons is such a minor aspect of the savagery that is ongoing in Syria. It ought not be the principal takeaway from its report. It says the big issue in Syria is the fact that it has become a proxy war, and that the flood of weapons into Syria, the flood of fighters into Syria, is the problem. It says the issue of arms has been high on the international agenda of late, with the EU lifting an embargo on the sale of arms to Syria, while Russia has insisted in going ahead with the sale of an advanced S-300 surface-to-air missile system to Syria. And yet the UN says, please. I mean, it's not very often that I find anything that the UN is saying to be sane, but here what they're saying is sane. Stop arming Syria. Weapons do not bring peace. They bring carnage. You know, the United States is prone to think that its military, the most expensive on Earth, in fact, more expensive than the rest of the Earth's military might combined, is a force for peace. The Navy runs ads, a force for goods, as they show the deployment of countless bombs and missiles and weaponry being deployed in their advertisement. But the fact is, when you have a destructive force like the military, what you bring is death and carnage. I mean, look how America used its military in Iraq and Afghanistan. 1 million people are dead as a result of our invasion of those countries. We broke them, and we left them worse than we found them. It is the nature of things. Weapons do not bring peace. If you are reliant on your military or weapons for peace, then you will be sadly disappointed. A friend of mine sent me an email from the Episcopal Church. This email was sent because the Episcopal Church, I guess, has ordained its first overtly homosexual minister. And it was, well, I don't care what the Episcopal Church does. It means nothing to me. There was this quote that was hilarious from the perspective of my friend, and I happen to agree with him. It says the ELCA, and I don't know what all of that is, but the Episcopal Church, in essence, is a church that belongs to Christ. Well, Christ is based on Christos, the Greek word for being drugged, so I would I'd probably go along with that. They're using, of course, Christ as a name. It's not as a title. It's not. There's no definite article here. So they're using Christ as a name. It most certainly is not a name. But it, it belongs to this fanciful individual. And there is a place for all here. Now, that's the notion that's, that Christianity has created, that everybody has a home within the big umbrella of Christianity. Everybody is welcome in God's home. That's not true. The church spokeswoman, Melissa Ramirez Cooper, said, maybe she needs another name, the election of Pastor Irwin illustrates that what many in the 4 million member church believe, that God calls each of us by name. And that's what my friends thought was hilarious, that their God calls everyone by name, and yet they don't know their God's name. A place for all, salvation for all. I'm beginning to see a common thread. Of course, I imagine it's difficult for him to call each of us by name when most of us don't even know his name. But we'll return to Shattering Myths after the news and commercial breaks and turn to Yahweh's testimony so we can see why we're in such a fix. I'll be back in a moment.